This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret today. And coming up, we talk about our favorite trashy movies. Everybody's got one. But now we're in the second week of the first major Hollywood writer's strike since 2007. And the rise of streaming platforms is being assailed by the Writers Guild of America, and they argue that the studios have not increased their compensation appropriately. We're going to dip into the organized labor side of this first, and then we'll talk about the impacts on what you can and can't see on TV and in the movies, now and going forward. And you can join the conversation if you like. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. Michael Childers is a professor and co-chair in the Department of Labor Education at UW-Madison. He's an expert in labor unions, collective bargaining, production standards, and labor management relations in union environments. I spoke with him earlier this afternoon. Let's start with how the ways in which we watch TV and movies have changed, obviously. But how has that changed the livings of the people who are making it, Michael?
That's a great question because it has fundamentally impacted them. When you look back at the last time that this union ended up having to strike during their negotiations, DVD sales were a huge thing, which, of course, now don't even exist. Structurally, streaming has remade basically all parts of the entertainment industry, and for writers, it's no different. And a big point of contention and something that needs to yet be worked out is exactly how compensation works in terms of the royalties that they are able to earn for shows that they've already worked on.
Well, one of the ongoing themes I think I've seen in the stories I've read is that these writers seem to be employed less often and finding jobs can be more difficult than it used to be. So how do they compensate that and find a way to make a living with what they're doing?
That again, is a result of sort of the change in the dynamic in terms of how shows are being sourced and produced. When you think about traditionally network series, you're talking about 20 to 24 episodes per season. So once a writer was in a writing room on one of these major shows, they pretty much knew they had 40 plus weeks worth of work lined up for the year. If you think about some of the more popular streaming series, they can be as little as 4 to maybe 12 episodes per season, which means that, yeah, in a real sense, writers have to scramble kind of gig to gig, because even if they do land these positions and are in these writing rooms, it doesn't even last a calendar year.
So Michael Childers, our guest, professor and co-chair in the Department of Labor Education at UW-Madison. You mentioned the previous strike, 2007, 15 years ago. It lasted 100 days. From what you've seen so far, could we see this one last as long or if not longer?
Of course, anything's possible, and you hate to prognosticate. But I would say that it seems that both sides are fairly entrenched in their positions, and the writers are bringing up issues around artificial intelligence, for example, that have yet to really be negotiated in a major national contract. So unfortunately, yes, right now I know people understand, obviously, the immediate impacts. But if it drags on, your possible outcome could be, the delay of fall programming.
What's the concerns over artificial intelligence and what it could mean for content creators?
Well, that's one of really the two major points that are remaining. And I guess I would say it this way. In general, workers are always concerned about being replaced, whether you're working in a factory or at a fast food restaurant, right? And the writers are no different, and they really see the large language model AI as a potential threat in terms of, what it means to their future livelihood. And what they're asking for basically is some very stringent constraints on how and where this technology can be used in their profession.
Who's in a better position to weather this labor dispute and this ongoing strike? Would it be the writers themselves or would it be the studios?
Well, it's pretty easy to do the math and figure out who has more money. So from that perspective, obviously, I mean, the studios, especially, and it's kind of ironic, it's the streaming services that are probably best positioned for a longer holdout, in that they have a lot more shows in the can, so to speak. They have a lot more programming that's already been created that they can continue to, met out as they need to try and keep you know, things fresh. They don't have to go straight to reruns, right? At the same time, I think the writers are very determined to try and get some concessions around both, you know, like we talked about, the AI, and also around the size of writer rooms and when they can use these so-called mini rooms for show development. So it could be a protracted struggle.
Would you explain the mini rooms for us a little bit, Professor Childers?
Sure. And now we're getting into really the inside baseball. But basically, in the past, producers or showrunners have utilized what they call quote unquote mini rooms, where it's just a handful of writers who are perhaps like typically was used like for a show that's under development, where maybe they haven't ordered the actual series yet, but they want to create a pilot, maybe the first couple of episodes, just to try and pitch it. And more, the studios are saying, well, yeah, this model seems to be great, so we'll employ less people for a shorter time. And yeah, that's something that the writers are pushing back on. We were talking about the last contract. Back then, I mean, one of the things they negotiate for is sort of like a minimum pay structure, a minimum salary scale. And back at the last strike, about a third of the writers would come in and be making at the minimum scale. And now it's up to half. So it kind of gives you the sense for how much things have changed for them.
Yeah. Michael Childers, our guest, professor and co-chair in the Department of Labor Education at UW-Madison. And what are some of the reverberations we've seen so far in the TV and movie industry? And are there other unions that are stepping up to support the Writers Guild of America?
Yeah, I think absolutely all the other entertainment industry unions have stepped up. I mean, I've heard of instances where, for example, the Teamsters, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, who we traditionally think of as like truck drivers, bus drivers, that sort of thing, they refused to cross picket lines. So in places where the writers have set up pickets, the Teamster drivers have refused to make deliveries. There's definitely a lot at stake in terms of both for the producers, because the next two contracts that are going to be up that they're going to have to be negotiating are both with the Directors Union and also with SAG-AFTRA, which is sort of your on-screen talent. So obviously, they're watching with close attention and obviously trying to offer their support, because they understand that they're going to soon be in bargaining as well.
Yeah, I saw a video of Mandy Patinkin at the picket lines yesterday, and he had a Princess Bride sign, "You killed residuals, prepare to pay." And he was joined by Bob Odenkirk, who at one point was one of the writers, but probably know him best as Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul. So this plays out in a much bigger picture going forward. What are some of the things that you're watching for next, Michael?
Well, again, I think from a labor relations perspective, it's interesting to see how they're able or what they're able to work out in terms of a resolution to the AI question, because this is something that's on a lot of people's minds. And obviously, you know, what the writers are able to achieve is going to have impact that's going to be watched closely.
And what can I do, or what can a consumer do as part of this labor dispute? Is there a way to, are we in danger of crossing a picket line by streaming, or is there a way to support the writers?
I mean, again, I think the writers, I mean, I think a lot of people are following this on social media just because they're interested in what's developing or how things are going. I mean, in terms of actual solidarity, I'm guessing they probably have websites, et cetera, set up to assist writers, especially if the strike drags out longer, in terms of mutual aid and support. So,
could this be a moment where artificial intelligence does step in and start generating content for us to consume?
Well, I think we've seen already examples that it is being used, right, in terms of advertising. I know there was an article this year about a famous Formula One driver who had an article that said it was an interview of him that was in a magazine. And he said, yeah, that's impossible because I've never spoken with you folks. And they later fessed up, well, yeah, it was generated by AI. So it's happening now. It's just about the ways in which it's going to be regulated and constrained.
Michael Childers, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's always a pleasure to be on Central Time.
Michael Childers is a professor in the Department of Labor Education at UW-Madison, and I talked with him earlier this afternoon about the labor union aspect of this ongoing Hollywood writer's strike. Next, we'll hear from an entertainment reporter about how this is affecting TV and movies, and you and me, the consumers. And you can join us now over the phone at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how the strike is affecting the writers themselves and us, the media consumers? Are you paying close attention to the shows and movies that might be affected by it? How's it affecting you? 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're talking about the Writers Guild of America strike now in its second week. And we invite you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. You understand where the writers are coming from and their need for more support from the entertainment industry? Joining us now to talk more specifically about the impact on the entertainment industry is Wendy Lee. Wendy's an entertainment business reporter for the LA Times, where she covers streaming services like Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV. And Wendy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank you for sticking around and listening to our conversation with Michael Childers from the UW-Madison. And I wondered what you'd have to add in terms of what you're covering and what you heard from the professor there.
Well, I think that one thing also important to note is, in addition to the writers that are being affected by this, and is also that the impact of the strike is also affecting small businesses. Small businesses like prop houses, florists, caterers, businesses that, you know, supply services to some of these productions, and when they shut down, it can adversely affect the local economy also in the L.A. area.
Yeah. How much of L.A. is an industry town? How much of the economy there is dependent on the entertainment industry?
It's a lot. You know, I mean, hence the team that I'm on. It's called Company Town because we cover the entertainment industry. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I talked to some businesses last week, and some of them, like the majority of their revenue comes from serving these productions. And when they shut down, they, you know, they have to dip into their savings, or some of the small businesses are pivoting to live events. So, you know, so there is also a local economic impact.
The other thing that Professor Childers mentioned was the contracts for SAG-AFTRA and the Directors Union, and how what's happening now may bleed into or have some impact on what's to come with those negotiations. What are you seeing, Wendy?
Yeah, so my colleague, Anusha, she has reported on the DGA negotiations and Directors Guild of America negotiations. And I think historically, the Director Guild historically, the DGA has been able to come to an agreement with the studios. And so people are looking to the DGA to see what happens with those negotiations and how those might affect the negotiations with the writers and the studios.
Wendy, you have a recent piece in the LA Times focusing on the particular ire being targeted at Netflix. Why? What is it about Netflix specifically that has so many writers being critical of and part of this writer's strike?
Well, you know, I think that Netflix is seen as a pioneer streaming. And, you know, you have to think back to the last time when there was a writer's strike. That was 2007. And back then, Netflix was, you know, a business mailing DVDs, you know, but today Netflix is known as being this pioneer streaming that has a huge library of content. And with that, you know, when Netflix was building up its business, one of the things that Netflix offered to writers was it was seen as a leader in terms of this effort of greenlighting scripts to series without having to go through a pilot process. And in return, you know, Netflix had planned to keep all these shows and later movies exclusively on its platform for its originals. But, you know, because it was all on its platform, those shows and movies, you know, wouldn't be available anywhere else. So, for example, Bridgerton, the only place you can watch Bridgerton is on Netflix. But in the past, other shows that have become successful, you know, they get syndicated, And as it gets syndicated and as they air on other platforms, the talent would get a portion of those revenues. But those deals were structured differently when it came to streaming services. And so because of that, there is some concern from the writers targeting Netflix because they see Netflix as a leader of these deals that that have caused them concern for how they are compensated.
How real is a concern that artificial intelligence will be displacing actual writers in the writer room?
You know, I mean, I think that a lot of people are concerned about AI. I mean, even in the journalism industry, you know, there's conversations about what AI could do, you know, in terms of impacting writers. But I think it's kind of like, you know, it's a piece of technology that I think is important for people to talk about. I mean, on one hand, you know, there are some aspects of AI that I have heard from others that can be helpful in terms of idea generation, in terms of such as just making tasks a little bit easier, you know, in terms of our everyday lives. But of course, you know, that raises other concerns about, you know, what impact that will do for existing jobs. And I think it remains an open question.
Wendy Lee, our guest reporter for the LA Times, taking a look at the writer's strike, the first since 2007, and what that means for the entertainment industry. And you can join us with your questions and comments about what you might be missing or what you're wondering about this strike at 1-800-642-1234. I say that the first thing we've noticed, at least from the entertainment consumption side, Wendy, is the late night shows, the late night talk shows, almost instantaneously. Once the strike began, we're off the air or in reruns. What are some of the other implications for people like me who like to sit down and stream at the end of the day?
Well, I think that most consumers that have streaming services probably won't feel the impact of the strike right away. I mean, we are seeing some shows that were in production that did not have finished scripts shut down, such as season 6 of Cobra Kai on Netflix or the 5th season of Stranger Things. But those are shows that, you know, that were scheduled to go on the platform much farther on into the future. So I think like for everyday consumers, a lot of the libraries of the streaming services are so huge that I think there's so many shows that even me personally as a consumer that I follow, I still just don't have enough time to finish yet. Like I'm still trying to catch up on Picard. I'm trying to catch up on Mandalorian. And then even most recently, like I'm also discovering new shows like Doogie Kamehameha MD on Disney Plus. Like that show released in 2021, but I just saw it like in the library, you know, my Disney Plus content library, and I just started watching that. So I'm not sure if you know, I would think that consumers it'll be a while, like for those streaming services to feel it.
For me, it was the second season of Severance on Apple TV Plus that wanted me to find resolution to the writer's strike as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure the severance of writers appreciate that.
Well, I'm just interested in what happens next, and there is a lot of that. But what about broadcast television? And a lot of these broadcast TVs now have their own streaming services. But is there concerns over fall lineups and when those might be impacted?
Yeah, no, I think that if this is a, you know, an extended strike, you know, I think that certainly the networks would be impacted. Most of the people that I talk to currently, they are hoping, although, you know, this is just a prediction. No one really knows exactly when the strike is going to end. But I think some of the people that I've talked to think that maybe it might end by, you know, the summer or by like August, I've heard.
Okay.
But as I said, like no one fully knows exactly when we'll end, but it's possible that it might not, the strike might not be as long as the 2007, 2008 strike.
Which was about 100 days, if I remember correctly. But
Yes.
another
Yeah.
thing about that strike, Wendy Lee, was that it seemed to create a vacuum with reality television entering into it. Is this strike affecting our Real Housewives or Below Decks or other reality binge watching?
You know, I was talking with one of the industry analysts about this, and He pointed out that, say for streaming services like Netflix, Netflix over the years has already increased its unscripted shows. So to this industry analyst I talked to, he didn't anticipate like a widespread increase like in that category because the platforms already have invested in that category. But I mean, certainly that's an option, for these companies to do unscripted. And I think yeah, unscripted, is definitely a possibility for them. I think also, for the studios, one thing that they may also be looking at, according to some analysts I've talked to, is possibly getting, out of overall deals with writers, as in case the labor, in case the work stoppage lasts for a long time, which would result in some form of cost savings to the studios.
Got about a minute left, Wendy, but what are you watching for next in this ongoing strike story?
I think that, a lot of people are going to be watching the negotiations between the studios and the DGA. And I think also just what happens with overall writer deals. I mean, we are hearing about, studios suspending some of these deals. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with that as well.
Wendy, I want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Wendy Lee is an entertainment business reporter for the LA Times. We talked to her today about the entertainment industry's impact in the ongoing Writers Guild of America strike. And earlier, we spoke with Michael Childers, professor and co-chair in the Department of Labor Education at UW-Madison, about the labor implications of this strike. And you can still comment online at WP, ideas at WPR.org.